Awesome. Nice to have Darlene in church with us this morning. We're continuing in our series today about engaging with God and worship. And so I've actually invited a few people to be part of a discussion panel that are going to join us today. So we've got Roz and Doug and Ash and Mitch. Come on up, grab a seat. Great. So you probably picked up, we were actually emailed, we got a notification during the week from Integral Energy that there was actually going to be no power in the street from 12 midnight till 3:30. So we decided we had to, well, that forced us into approaching things a little bit differently today. But, you know, we have power at the moment. It's possible it could go off sometime during the service, in which case there will be a brief pause while we switch to generator power. But we'll just do the very, very best we can. But, you know, I think there's something of God in this, because I really believe he wants to do something in our hearts about worship today. And actually, there's something about being down low, have a little bit more acoustic and seated like this that I'm really hoping is going to engage us with the presence of God in a really amazing way today. But I'm going to start by asking these people some questions. So just to get them warmed up, I want to know about what your favourite praise and worship songs are. Can you name a favourite? We don't have all day if you list 20 favourites. What do you think? Roz, have you got one?
Yeah. I really like any of the worship songs that declare who God is and his greatness and what he's done for us. And one that I'll often sing as I'm going down to work is, "I worship you, Almighty God, there's none like you." And I will sing that as I'm driving, and I'll end up generally singing off in tongues as well. And that for me is a big trigger for entering into God's presence as I drive.
His presence. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Somebody else jump in. Doesn't have to be in any particular order.
I have a ton of favourite songs. Yeah. But one that, when I was thinking about this, that comes to my head immediately is Breaking Sun, which was written by our music team. And I really love songs that just declare the power of God and the hell-crushing kind of death has been defeated. I really like that stuff. That stuff stirs me up. Because it has been. Yeah.
It's true, yeah. What about you guys? Have you got favourites?
I'm thinking all-time favourites, way back, Hosanna, Majesty, those type things. I love our current music, don't get me wrong. But, the old Hosanna, just connect. You get in and connect with God, yeah? It's just you and God, you're praising. It's just awesome.
Just stuff, really awesome. Yeah. What about you, Mitch?
I think my praise song would have to be All Day.
Yep.
And then Majesty
as a worship song. Yeah, I've got a long list as well, and it's very hard to pick because I think it probably depends on the. It does. It changes all the time. But I was thinking about what Luke was saying last week about the wells in your heart and the seasons, and sometimes I think. There's one song which is probably one of the first ones that I engaged with when I learnt to worship God. And some of you will know it. It's a really simple little chorus, and it says, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice." And I think that was a well, that was dug in my heart over that song. And so sometimes that's one that I remember. But I love that line about living on the ground that we've won, and Majesty, all of those songs, they're just absolutely awesome. So having done that, what does worship mean to you? How do you engage? I mean, Roz, you talked about, driving to work and praising God.
Worship is connecting. Mm. It's connecting in a personal way, me and God. It can be in church, it can be at home, it can be in the car. And I have chosen over the last couple of years, 20 years, 30 years, to...
It's only one or two.
Just really? It is. It's just yesterday.
Short time.
To really choose to connect, particularly in church when worship's on.
If
the song leaders are dancing, even if I don't feel like it, I'm choosing to enter in and to dance and to be active. The church we were part of before, we were very much, we marched around the room and and I learnt in that context to be involved in worship.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, worship is me and God. Mm. And it's me actively choosing to walk with God and to worship Him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's awesome. What about others? Why do you get involved?
Well, I agree with Roz there. It's a decision you make in church or out in the world there. But so more importantly, in church, when we come here to worship God together, you walk through the door and you sit down and just sit down and you make feel nothing, but you make a decision that I'm going to connect with God, and the music's great. It's a wonderful way to lead in, but it is that, yeah, get the hands up for years. For years, when I first became a Christian, I struggled, yeah, getting these hands up in the air to praise God. I really did, and the best release was the day. They were up there just praising God. And from then on, it's just been very, very open. First thing I want to do is get my hand up, Lord, and just praise God. But to really dig in deep then, I'm looking at... I visualise the stone being rolled away.
Yep.
Because we praise a living God.
Yeah.
I go looking for Christ's face. And that just, gets
that's
me.
What you do.
Pretty quick.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So what changed, Doug? What, I mean, you said, like, when you first became a Christian, like, it was really hard to get your hands up. What changed to make you become a worshipper?
Well, it took a while. I was a bit held back, just reserved in my physical actions, you know, like, go to church, you don't raise your hands. But I just felt the freedom, just a release in my spirit. And like I said, I went from this to suddenly this, and it was just a breakthrough. I think, yeah, Christ was there, and off you go into tongues, and you're just praising. It's getting the Spirit of God inside your gut.
Yeah. What about you, Mitch? Why are you a worshipper?
I sort of go back to that verse in Matthew, and I know it's a key verse in your family about putting God first and all else will be added to you. And I just think that when I worship God, it's not about me at all, and I sort of just want to thank God for everything that He's done in my life, the people He's put around my life, my good-looking wife, you know, stuff like that. So I just, like, I think that's what worship to me is. I just want to, like... Yeah, as you raise your hands, you're thanking God. You're going, God, thanks so much for everything you've done in my life. And that's all worship is for me, really. I just want to thank God as much as I possibly can. Because when I thank God, I'm putting God before myself. And then everything else will be added. And so God's just number one. And I do that in my prayer and in my worship. I try. The first thing I want to do is just thank God.
Yeah, that's really awesome. What about you, Ash?
I don't think I can add anything else. It covers it all. Yeah, I worship because of truth, like Darlene said. Like, everything in this book is truth, and God is good and God is faithful, and no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what is going on in my life, like, I always want to lift my feelings up to the truth. And yeah, just like, and like Mitchell said, it's not about me. Like, it's not about what I look like in front of, you know, like, I think like, I'm still pretty young, and I think...
Fairly.
And I think, like, I got a good handle on what it is to worship really early. And so I'm lucky in that aspect. But I can still remember, like, you know, being in my early teens. And one of the things that you worry about is, I don't want to put my hands up because I don't know what people will think. Like, stuff like that. And I guess, you know, people of all ages struggle with that. But, yeah, like Mitchell and everyone has said, like, it's not about me. It's about God, and it's about what He's done for me, and it's about entering into His presence and connecting with His heart and lifting my eyes to, like, something that's better, something that's holy, and that's why I worship for the same reasons.
Oh, that's very good. I know for me, one of the things when I connect with God in worship is that like it's like opening the door of heaven, and I just hear God speak really, really clearly. And I would say for me, I more often hear God speak to me in a time of worship, and it, like I'll get direction or maybe a word for somebody else or something like that. I don't know what. I suspect, like, when I know that worship just opens the gates of heaven. So I just wonder whether any of you have got anything to share. Like, how does God... have you had revelations, breakthroughs, times when God's spoken to you in worship that you could share with us?
Yes. Crazy things that probably make my mother upset because, like, I've been overseas and stuff, and God's spoken to me in moments of worship about, you know, about missions and about... the purpose for my life. Like, I feel like I've had really clear direction and a vision for my future, and that has come, like, standing down the front in church with my hands raised, or like even just sitting in my car praying and stuff. Yeah, times of worship, definitely.
Mm. What about others?
I'm thinking, for me, When I'm praising and I'm speaking in tongues, and God speaks to me during that time, and it's probably the closest you can feel for me with Christ, and you will see different visions, and you just get an inspiration. Words are, it's been a while since I had a word of knowledge over someone, but you'll see a sign of something, just a leading, and... it's pretty special stuff.
So it kind of opens the door to spiritual revelation.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like being another cloud or stuff.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's like when I'm at home alone and stuff, like that's when you put the worship CD on or you sing something to God. Because not everyone's got awesome voices, but... So anyway... I think it's just like gives you strength, and only like I feel like when you get into some serious prayer and stuff, and that is awesome. But when you praise God in worship, it's a different type of strength. I feel like it just like if I do it, I'm ready for the next day. I'm ready to do what I have to do. I'm ready that God's given me the strength to talk to whoever I need to talk to. Just to shine the light on whoever I need to shine God's light onto. But, like, when those days... Because there's days where it hasn't happened. These are not perfect. And those days feel like I've been held back. I haven't pushed forward. I haven't put God first. But when you do those days where you worship God and you go after God, and even in church, when you just go after God, you don't care about who's behind you, who's beside you, who's in front of you. You don't care about what your voice sounds like. You go after God, I feel like God's just equipping me, just like this massive flow. And I want that flow to just outflow to other people as much as possible. And I just like, and if you don't worship God with your whole heart, I feel like it's not equipping me with everything that God has planned for me. So I feel like I'm missing out if I don't go hard after God. And so I just want to make sure I go hard after God every time I worship, because I want God to equip me with everything that I need for that day.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Can I just say, just on the voice thing, Heather and I were talking earlier, and like one of my favourite things to see in church and just anywhere is people that, you know, don't have the best voices but are just standing there worshipping God with their whole heart. It doesn't matter what you sound like, because you can see, like you can see the Spirit of God coming out, and yeah, nothing better. Yeah. Sing loud, sing proud, unashamed, uninhibited, because it's awesome.
Yeah.
People see that stuff, and it's encouraging. And
I wonder, actually, I don't know whether this is scriptural, does God love it more when people who aren't musical and don't have a good voice, like, actually really let it rip in worship? Definitely
says Mitchell.
Because people are not working, you're not in your strength zone, you're actually launching right out beyond that, and that's a really powerful thing. Yeah. Were you going to tell us a story, Ross?
About 18 years ago, I discovered the power of worship.
David had really low platelets. So that could have killed him. They were significantly low. And he'd been on medication and the medication wasn't working. And he'd been challenged by God to go off medication. If he did that, it gave him maybe a week. And he came home and said to me, I'm not going to do this unless you agree. So I had to deal with this. We went into church that night and they were singing, I walk by faith, each step I take is a step of faith. And so our friends came alongside us and we started walking. And as I walked, that faith came. And I was able to believe God to look after him, and he's still here.
Yeah, that's it. It's so much more than just a song, isn't it? Yeah. That's part of why I wanted to show that bit that, of Darlene speaking before. That, by the way, that's off her new album, Revealing Jesus. It's just a little clip from that. But worship is not about music in that sense. But music was made by God in the first place. In heaven, there is singing. God is the creator of music. We're just talking about how God loves it when people who can't sing in tune worship. But, you know, you look at all of the, you know, Idols and Voice and, you know, all of those shows that are on television, and you hear some absolutely remarkable voices over and over and over again, and they don't all make it to be world famous, that's for sure. All over the earth there are people who sing, and God made music. And it gets used for all kinds of stuff. As she says, you know, it even gets used to advertise Coca-Cola or whatever. But music was designed for the worship of God. And in its purest form, it's worship. So music without worship, I don't know what that is really, but that's just ordinary. But music that's worship is heaven. It's taken into a whole new realm, and that's why it releases the power of God in different situations. Yeah. Ash, you can sing.
Thank you.
And you're also a fabulous worship leader. What do you do to prepare yourself for that?
Worship. and worship. It's not just, you know, coming on Sunday. It's like worshipping on Monday and worshipping on Tuesday and worshipping when I'm driving to work and worshipping, you know, when I'm at the gym. And it's like an accumulation of everything. It's a lifestyle of worship. Like, I think that when you, I don't know, I struggle to come if I haven't worshipped for a few days, like I struggle to, because you just feel empty, like there's no kind of like resources there, just, you know, kind of saved up. So I just worship and then I don't know what happens. Turns out all right on a Sunday. No, connecting with God during the week is like the only thing that I can do.
So as our representative of the music team here on this platform, what would you like to say to the church?
Worship. Pretty much the same thing. No, like just during the week, that's important, that it's a lifestyle, that it's not just like waiting to come on a Sunday, and it's not just, you know, like you can worship in lots of different ways. Like you don't have to sing a song, like you can, I don't know, being with YWAM, they're a bit crazy, but like we would worship with paintings and drawings and like whatever you're good at. Like not everyone can sing and not everyone's musically gifted, but you just find whatever it is that helps you connect with God. I think that that's one way. Engaging, it's really encouraging when we're standing on the stage just to see people, you know, overcoming their fears and overcoming themselves to engage with God, and so that's awesome. And I think as well, like, get our cities album, because that's the heartbeat of our church. And if you want, like, if you want to be encouraged and, you know, be connected, and like if you're like, oh, like, what is this about? Honestly, get that album, because it's written, like, out of that pure, like, we just want to please God and we want to connect with God and we want to lead the congregation into God's presence using the skills that we have. And that's, like, that's the album. So buy the album, bit of a plug. But, yeah, just worship, whatever way, every day. Take time to connect with God.
Mm. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I think it's, I mean, having been a worship leader for a long while, it's, I mean, I know when I come to lead worship, we don't start the service with two praise songs and two worship songs every week, because it's like an order of service that's written in the book. We do that because we genuinely believe that the scripture says that you enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart, and you there's scriptural purpose and reason for that. And, you know, sometimes, I'll be really honest, people arrive late for church and miss the praise and worship, and somehow, I don't know whether people think that that's not important, but wow, you know, you're missing out on you're missing out on the really good stuff if you're not there for all of that part. And I'm not saying that to have a go. I'm just saying, wow, you know, like, I think was it you last week, or somebody was saying last week, it's, you know, honestly, it'd be like being married without kissing. You're missing out on all of those bonuses, because you're not getting the fullness of this whole experience if you miss out on the worship experience, because it's crucial to opening up a gateway for God in your heart and life. Yeah, yeah, amen, amen. I'm going to keep talking a little bit, but why don't we thank these guys. Such a privilege to have you come and share, and I really thank you too, especially to Mitch and Doug and Roz, who are not part of the music team, for coming and sharing their heart on why they're such involved worshippers on a Sunday. And it was just, yeah, really awesome to hear from everybody. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to do a bit of shifting around here. If I could just have that lectern, just the little music stand. Thanks. It's good, and we still have power, so we're still going. We're doing very, very well indeed. So I had a few thoughts that I just wanted to add in now on the subject of worship. And the first one is that God is great. God is great. There is no one like him. There's no one like him. And, you know, as Australians, maybe as people, I don't know, we don't naturally give away praise. No, it's actually a fairly rare thing to find someone whose default position is to say something really good and encouraging and positive to somebody else. Most people, I suspect, who are like that have taught themselves to make that their default position. And so I think it's really hard for us, because we come from a culture that's very cynical, very critical. It's very hard for us to make our default position one of giving honour, one of giving respect, one of saying good things about people, let alone God, who we can't see. And usually people have to really earn our respect before we're willing to say something really good about them. You know, if you see somebody that looks good, your little suspicion radar's going on, and they're going to have to earn your respect before you jump in and say something really positive somewhere along the line. But to be honest, what else has God got to do to earn our respect? He made the world. He spoke a word and the world was created. He sent his son to die for us. He has promised to fill us with the power of his Spirit. He brings healing and encouragement into our lives. Is there anything else he has to do for us to think, oh, God, you're worthy of my respect. I could say something nice about you. And in its, you know, in its simplest form, that's what praise and worship comes back to. And honestly, if you don't feel like you can thank God, if you don't feel like you can praise him and just say, God, you are great, you are awesome, you are the most amazing, and genuinely mean it, then get to know him better. Yeah, because just like I said, with a person, as you they earn your respect as you get to know them. If you don't have that revelation of God that you know him, so you know he is worthy of your respect and your praise and your honor, then get to know him better so that you can do that. Read his word, pray, experience it all for yourself. So he deserves our worship for no other reason other than that he is God. He is God. He is infinite. He is great. He is amazing. He made the world. He loves us. His mercies are new every morning. We deserved punishment, but he doesn't give us. What he pours out is forgiveness and mercy and grace and love. He equips us every day. Get to know him better. Get to know him better and release that praise and that worship in your heart. Yeah? Amen. But because he's God and because his love for us never ever ceases, not only do we praise him because we should anyway, because he is just worth it, but when we praise him, we actually unlock his presence and his power in our lives. You listen to all those people, they talk about how in the worship they get strength. In worship, there's revelation of direction and purpose in life. In worship, there's power to face the really hard challenges and enable you to walk step by step through all of them. So when we engage in worship, not only are we doing that thing that God deserves, but somehow in all of that, because what Mitch said's right, it's about God, it's not about me. But in his graciousness, somehow I get blessed as well. I get equipped. His purpose is revealed into my life. And honestly, the more I fix my eyes on Jesus and set my heart to serve him, it's like the more he releases his presence and his power into my life. I guess it's one of the God paradoxes, because you can't outgive him. You just cannot ungive him. Outgive him. In Psalm 22 and verse 3, it says, "You are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered." In the Old King James, it says, "God inhabits the praises of his people." He dwells. God lives. His house is in the praise. Okay, that's, you want to find him, you want to know his address, where he lives. It's not 129 Jardine Street. It's in the praise. It's in the worship. That's where God dwells. That's where he lives. And we invite his presence when we worship him. In Philippians 4:4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it. Rejoice." Thessalonians 5:17-18. "Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will concerning you." It doesn't mean that Roz had to say, "God, I'm thankful that my husband might die in a week because his platelet count is low." But what she had to do was say, "God, you are my God. You are in control even of this most difficult circumstance. And I will praise you in the midst of the difficulty because of who you are." Because of who you are. Yeah? So we give thanks. We rejoice always. We rejoice always. We give thanks always because God inhabits the praises of his people. And when we praise, when we give thanks, when we rejoice, we release his power and his purpose into our lives. One of my favourite scriptures is in Hebrews 13, verse 15, and it says, "Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name." There's an old song for that too, isn't there, Pam? We'll remember, "We bring the sacrifice of praise." Yep. But we do, we bring, when we come to worship, we bring a sacrifice of praise. No, in the Old Testament, they brought goats and bulls. And they got put on altars and had their blood drained out of them and killed. Some churches, some religions today, they light candles. Go into a Thai restaurant and you'll see the little Buddha up on the shelf and the oranges in front. In other religions and in other places, you know, some sort of sacrifice is required, whether it's oranges or bulls or goats or whatever. The only thing that our God asks of us is praise and thanksgiving. Wow. How can we not bring our very, very best? No, like what Mitch was saying, coming to church on Sunday and just going to give everything, absolutely give it our best in all of that. That's God, he hasn't asked for an orange. He hasn't asked for a goat or a bull. But he's asked that we come and we bring a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to him that releases his power in our lives. And the last thing I just want to say to you is be free. Be free. What Doug was saying about when you start, you know, you think, "Oh, gosh, I don't know whether I can raise my hands. I'm going to look weird." Like Ash was saying, when you, well, I don't think you have to be a teenager. You can be 90 and be worried about what people are going to think of you around you. Oh, what are people going to think if I lift my hands? What do they think if I don't? Okay, so maybe if I lift them this far, I kind of get to do my bit. And they're, you know, I kind of take a middle ground and that'll be okay. Wow, God only wants one thing, not goats or bulls. Sacrifice of praise. Be free. Andrew read it in church a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday night, and Ron shared on it again last week. I'm going to read you this scripture from 2 Samuel. "David and all the people of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. But as the Ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window." She was David's wife. "When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the special tent David had prepared for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. When he had finished his sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies. Then he gave to every Israelite man and woman in the crowd a loaf of bread and a cake of dates and a cake of raisins, and all the people returned to their homes. When David returned to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, 'How distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do.' And David retorted to Michal, 'I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord, so I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, and I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. But those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think I am distinguished.'" The Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. When you read through the history of Israel in Kings and Chronicles and Samuel, people walked away from God, the kings didn't follow him, and over and over and over and over and over again, God says to the prophets, because of my servant David, I will do this. Because of my servant David, because of my servant David, because of my servant David, I will do this. Jesus, son of David. And in the prophet and in Acts again, it repeats it. It says that in the last days, worship like the tabernacle, worship the way David worshipped, will be restored into the life of the church. David learnt the lessons in praise. He was a worshipper first, before he was a king, before he was anything else. And he learnt all of those lessons in praise and in worship. That's why he's a man after God's own heart, because whatever his faults and failings, and he had plenty. He was an evil man, really. But he had plenty of faults and failings, but he was a worshipper. A worshipper, a lover of God, who wasn't afraid to show it. He was willing to be completely and utterly undignified, to not think about himself at all, but to put the praise and worship of God absolutely first. The Spirit of God wants to set you free in worship. God wants you to be released, to lift your hands, to dance, to sing out loud when you can't sing at all, to go for it at 1,000 miles an hour, no matter what he wants. And can I submit to myself and all of you today, if we don't feel that our faith and our love for God is up to the point where we could lead a procession down Crown Street, dancing and praising God, then we've probably all got a way to go in terms of the kind of freedom God wants for us. But, you know, that's the freedom God wants in our heart and life. He wants every one of us to be so free in our spirit, and not just about singing, but about everything. So free in our spirit, so unconcerned about our own personal pride and who I am and what other people think of me, that we could lead a procession down the street singing and dancing. Imagine the freedom in your soul. Imagine the freedom of your heart if you were able to do that without a second thought about, oh, are people going to think I'm a bit weird if I do that? And I'm not saying you have to do that now, but I'm kind of stretch your mind to think, how free is that? How free is that? And that's what God wants for you today and tomorrow morning and when you're at work and at every other time in your life. And you will get that freedom through worship. You will get that freedom through worship because God inhabits the praises of his people. You release it in your heart and life, that level of freedom where nothing is holding you back anymore. There are no constraints on you. It comes in worship. That's how it comes. It's what God wants for you. He wants to take us beyond ourselves, beyond our personality, because it's not about your personality at all. Not about that. He wants to take us beyond our religious experience and what we're used to in church or in life. And he wants the release of his presence in our heart and lives. Now, Christianity, this faith that we share, it's not a good way to live. It's the power of God to forgive us, to save us, to set us free. Yeah? We do the faith that we have in Christ a grave injustice if we think that it's about a good way to live our lives and a way to cope with every day. It's actually about the power of God released in your life and in my life. Yeah? It is far, far more than good ideas and good planning and being a moral, upright person. It's about the power of God released in our lives. We will release the power of God in our lives as we enter his gates, enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, enter his courts with praise as we worship him. Amen. Amen. In Psalm 42, it says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Can I encourage you today? Hunger for more of God. Hunger for his presence. Get yourself to a point where you are thirsty for God. And if you're a person that comes to church and you're not comfortable with raising your hands, you're not comfortable with dancing, then what I want to say to you today, I just want to encourage you to push forward into the freedom that Christ has for you. In one sense, it's not about the raising of hands or the dancing, although both of those are scriptural injunctions. And like I said before, what has God? God's not asking for a goat or a bull. He's not asking for an orange. He's asking for a sacrifice of praise and worship that we bring to him. But allow yourself to yearn for God so much that you get beyond what you think about, what other people think about you, and just let go in the presence of God. Amen? Amen? I'm going to invite our music team to come back, and they're going to lead us now in some more worship. And I just want to encourage you, enter his gates, push forward in him. Amen.